From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Governor Scott Walker released the state's next proposed biennium budget last week. While issues like the UW system and voucher expansions have dominated the headlines, there are hundreds of other issues and programs included in the budget that could affect Western Wisconsin families. Here today to talk about what that may be are Minority Leader Senator Jennifer Schilling, a Democrat from La Crosse, Representative Jill Billings, another Democrat from La Crosse, and Joe Heim. He's UW La Crosse Professor Emeritus of Political Science. We did invite a number of Western Wisconsin Republican lawmakers to appear on this show, but they either could not fit it in the schedule or they declined our offer. So let's talk about the Department of Natural Resources. Last week, we heard a lot about the department could face $53 million budget cut. Number of jobs could be eliminated, especially research positions. If you changes to the stewardship fund. When you see all of this, Representative Billings, maybe let's start with you. What's your interpretation of what's going on at the DNR?
I think that part of it is consolidation of power. I think it's a mistake to transform the board of the DNR and DATCAP into simple advisory councils. I know a lot of people in our area take part in the Conservation Congress when we have the general meetings, and it's wonderful to be there to hear about the citizens who know firsthand, who either are part of recreation or hunting, and get to look over rules and policies and then give that information to the board. And it takes that group even one step farther away, which I think is a huge mistake. They've cut scientists out of the DNR. These are people, especially with the expansion of frack sand mining, that we need more scientists in the DNR rather than less to help make sure that we're doing right by our environment.
We have a lot of water quality scientists that you hear about in the area, too.
Yes, exactly. And then finally, the stewardship program was basically won't exist for the next several years under this budget, which is a huge mistake, as so many of us in this area appreciate our bluff land, that land that has been set aside for this with efforts that started over 100 years ago. And we recreate there. It's huge for our tourism industry. There's some upset about that on both sides of the aisle, and we'll see where that will go, because I think people understand the value of preserving those public lands, because once they're developed, it's next to impossible to bring them back.
And there could be some changes to the Kickapoo Valley Reserve located nearby here. There's some talk about shifting it from the Department of Tourism to the Department of Natural Resources. I think they are trying to figure out what exactly all these changes could mean. Does anyone here know exactly what's going on?
At the Chamber of Commerce breakfast, Representative Neerson was talking about that issue specifically, that there is a history there where it was not put under – it was put under tourism because there was an understanding of being able to value that as a program that benefited so many people in the area and was such a benefit to tourism. And there was quite a fight over it, and that was decided back in that history. And to change it at this point seems ill-advised to me.
Senator Schilling?
Well, the broad picture, we look at the stewardship fund, and I'll get back to the Kickapoo Reserve
Board.
Of course. But when you look at the stewardship fund, it basically ends the stewardship fund. It puts a freeze on acquiring lands for 13 years, which I don't think Governor Walker will be our governor in 13 years. So it even sort of – it's a head-scratcher of how we can put that into language and into statute so many years forward, because possibly in 2 or 4 years we could certainly change that language. But it is very disheartening to think of sort of the tradition that Wisconsin has to protect our natural resources, that there is a partnership with the state and with local landowners and local units of government to protect really environmentally sensitive tracts of land here in Wisconsin. And so I think that is certainly very troubling, that freeze on the stewardship program and kind of ending that over the next 13 years. On the Kickapoo Reserve, that is something that I think I hope we can look at the language, and it may not just be as simple as deleting the language that the governor put in, but certainly there is a lot of family, generation, and emotion that goes with that land tract being kind of singled out as a co-managed between the state of Wisconsin and with the Ho-Chunk tribe. And it goes back really generations for that dam project that never materialized, and families whose land was taken by them, by the federal government, and then the dam never materialized. It took a long time, and my predecessor, Senator Rood, Representative Dwayne Johns Rood, and many family members and citizens of the Kickapoo Valley in that Driftless area sat down and designed sort of the makeup of this board and the oversight and the governance of that board to be very local because it was such a personal issue. And having it within the tourism department, you know, emphasized the important role that it has. And I think by bringing it into the Department of Natural Resources, there are really some concerns about how that land could possibly be used. It is environmentally sensitive. It is a jewel. It is a gem. It is used in all seasons for many different uses and multi-uses of it. But as you look at really the local parts of the budget and what could really affect, you know, the community that you live in, working through and trying to exactly understand what happens with that Kickapoo Reserve Board, that the board remains, but really that oversight and being brought into the DNR board and what that means as far as that oversight and what possibilities that the Department of Natural Resources could exercise over the board is concerning.
Joe Heim, your take on all these proposed changes to the DNR?
Well, the DNR thing is in a bigger picture. I think the governor in general and Republicans in general believe in deregulation. I mean, that's kind of a basic element of their party. And I see a number of these things as simply deregulation. They want less government involvement in certain areas, and the DNR is just one of them. Wisconsin has had a history of public involvement in citizen boards. I'm going to say we have hundreds of them, but I know we have a lot of them. And we've always involved citizens and things. And generally, these are nonpartisan type of boards for the most part. So it's sort of disconcerting to see this deregulation process evolve. But it's essentially a reflection of the sign of the times and who's in charge, frankly.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. My guests today are UW-La Crosse Political Science Professor Emeritus Joe Heim, Minority Leader Senator Jennifer Schilling, a Democrat from La Crosse, and Representative Jill Billings, a Democrat from La Crosse. In the last week and a half, in hearing about the budget, we haven't really heard much about economic development or job growth. Obviously, Governor Walker had run on a $250,000 job creation pledge, which he didn't reach that benchmark. But through the election season, we heard so much about jobs, 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 but we're not hearing about that in this budget. Senator Schilling?
Well, and he talks about merging his quasi-government agency that has economic development, the WEDIC, which was created out of the last budget. He merges WEDIC with WEDA into the Ford Wisconsin Development Authority. And so I know talking with some of my colleagues, they are concerned about the merging of agencies because this was poorly rolled out in the last budget. And when we went from the Department of Commerce to the WEDIC agency, that there were a lot of issues. There were several audits that came out because there was money that was being misappropriated, that there were practices that were not able to be done under state law. And by having legislators on that board, that was able to be the eyes and ears of taxpayers to be able to catch these things, bring it to the attention of the audit bureau, and really exercise legislative oversight. The governor is looking at removing those four legislators and really replacing it with just a private sector representatives, and I think that is dangerous because certainly job creation is something that is so important in economic development in this state, and because as a state we partner with our regional economic partners, we partner with our local units of government, but I think we have a responsibility as legislators to the taxpayers to make sure that their voices are on this board, and so kind of a way of privatizing the job creation, economic development, I think is troubling, and I think people are really trying to take a slow approach as we do that. He does add $55 million to Ford Wisconsin Development Authority to create regional revolving loan funds, and recently, Representative Doyle Billings and myself sat down with many of our economic development partners in the region, and we talked about the money that is currently in the revolving loans regionally, and part of the definition and the problems is actually administering it. So I'm interested and intrigued with this $55 million addition to the revolving loans. I want to know more about it, but how we can get that money out to the regions and the communities and the small businesses that know it. We've got money that's sitting there that they currently can't access. We need to do a better job of getting that out the door.
Jill Billings?
There's an item in the budget that affects my area specifically, and an area that I was interested in and worked to help advocate for as it was working through the legislation is the historic rehab tax credit. That's capped at $10 million annually. And so I know that there's a lot of people who are really interested in that piece. I think that helps with our historic downtowns, which also helps with tourism, along with job development. So the credits are still going to be awarded based on job creation potential, and it's mandatory repayment if the job creation goals are not met, which seems fair to me. But I know there's a high need for that program, and I think that's a nice job developer. And so going forward, we'll see if we can put some more funding in that possibly.
Joe Heim.
Political campaigns run on things like job creation, and then immediately after elections, it just sort of evaporates.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed by that, too. But in a different sense, however, the economy of the state is slowly picking up. The national economy is growing very dramatically the last several months. Wisconsin, however, is still lagging the growth in the national economy, and that's got to be disconcerting. By the way, you mentioned job creation. I do want to mention that the UW mission statement issue, the governor did want to interject into that statement the idea that the university system should be producing graduates to fill specific jobs in the state. So that was his bow to that area, at least as far as the university is concerned.
Are there any other budget items that really could spawn economic growth, I'm assuming in the private sector?
Well, in the last budget, we put $25 million into venture capital, and I think that that was the best we could do at that time. And you look at other states, and they have a much more robust program for venture capital. And so I haven't combed through and seen any numbers that really jump out. We may keep the same level of $25 million but in the venture capital. But that's one area, if we could, I would like to beef that up for opportunities for angel investment and those networks that helping small businesses access that capital is so important. And I think by having a more robust venture capital fund that would be helpful. But I haven't really seen where the governor's putting any additional money into that.
And along the lines of not necessarily job creation, but making it easier for families to work, Representative Billings, you've talked about how you'd like to see funding for childcare in the budget. Where does the budget sit when it comes to that?
Under childcare, there are a few elements that Senator Schilling and I have had listening sessions with childcare providers in this area. So there are a couple elements that provide a little bit of relief when it comes to that reporting after someone has done a background check. Instead of doing the 4-year background checks on caregivers, they have to then they're good unless they have new employees come on. They have to do the background check again, but not quite as many repeated checks on someone. And then also for child care providers, that they don't have to, when they're renewing their license, they don't have to do background checks as often as they did in the past. So that helps with some of the paperwork that was involved. But we heard some more issues with them that I would like to pursue as separate legislation as we go into the session.
Like tax credits for families, or how exactly would that work out?
Well, I think that families need some relief, and tax credits would absolutely be something that could be helpful. As we talked to child care providers, they talked about different licensure things, and in the Young Star program with the rating, ways that we could tweak that and help with their rating and be able to get a 2-star, 3-star, or 4-star. Some of the regulations didn't seem to make sense. And so I think we could be able to work within that too.
I want to briefly touch on the transportation funding issue, because I know this is something that Democrats and Republicans both have been a little wary about. Governor Walker is looking to borrow $1.3 billion to fund transportation projects in the state. I know there's some concern as to whether or not borrowing that money is the right way to go about this, but could that fund any Southwest Wisconsin transportation projects? And is this the best way to do it?
That was one of the loudest criticisms I heard from, across the political spectrum, was the governor's $1.3 billion of borrowing and bonding, basically putting it on the credit card for this biennium. And many of my colleagues, Democrat and Republican, are pushing back and saying that that is not the responsible thing to do. We would like something more long-term, more sustainable than continuing borrowing, and that that's going to be scaled well way back. If you remember in November or December, his Secretary of Transportation, Secretary Gottlieb, put out recommendations of about $760 million in fee and tax increases, and the governor quickly rebuffed any of that. And so what we have now is this increased borrowing. And interestingly enough, even when we talked about the previous question about economic development, under economic development and jobs, the governor puts forward a sports and entertainment district for the Milwaukee Bucks, that arena. Like, he's seeing that as job creation. But again, that's $220 million that on borrowing. So I think we're going to see a lot of changes there. One of the areas I'm concerned about with transportation in this last budget, I think we had funds for bike and pedestrian projects to be incorporated when they do road
the complete
projects.
Streets.
Complete streets, yes. And in this budget, the governor does away with that and does not require it. And I certainly think as we are looking at multi, modal societies, we want to make sure that if people want to walk and bike and use other alternatives to cars, that we need to make sure that they are, it's safe. And I was, disappointed to see that the governor has done away with that complete streets requirement. I think as some of the projects locally in western Wisconsin, outside of La Crosse, but other in some of my smaller communities, to have that complete streets element has meant, safer transportation routes for people if they're on their bikes, if they're walking, what have you. And so that's one area I hope we can revisit, is bringing back that complete streets within transportation.
So, Joheim, if there's skepticism about borrowing money for transportation, how else can these projects be funded?
Well, the irony, according to the governor, is that they are borrowing less this biennium than they have in many years. In other words, other types of bonding are going to be cut back severely. I'm talking about buildings. So there are winners and losers in this budget, and the winners would be the road construction people, and the losers might be the construction of building people. That's the way I see it. I don't know exactly what projects are going to continue. But essentially, for example, on this campus, there's a couple projects that are in jeopardy at this point.
We only have a couple minutes left, so I want to go down the line and see beyond the issues we've talked about today. Representative Billings, what are your priorities? What are you really hoping does stay in the budget? Maybe what are you hoping is removed from the budget?
Well, I think that there are some positive elements with some funding for human trafficking, $2 million, and that helps with some legislation that I'm working on, providing safe harbor for children, so that when they're found and taken out of off the streets, that there's help for them. There's some good stuff with domestic violence, some more help for domestic violence victims. For me, I don't like the idea of borrowing for transportation, and that provides some concern on both sides of the aisle. I'm mostly concerned for education. Wisconsin has always been known as a state that has wonderful education, whether it's pre-K to get grade 12, our tech colleges, our university system. And over the past several years, they've taken hit after hit after hit. So now they're really living on shoestring budgets. Teachers have talked about encouraging their children to not go into teaching. So I'm concerned 5 years down the road, what's going to happen? And we need our quality teachers. And we need our quality educational systems. This is what fuels our economy. These are our skilled workers that we need for future generations, and we have to invest in them.
And Senator Schilling, your priorities for the budget?
Well, I think that the priority in this budget is Governor Walker put forward is a presidential bid. I mean, this is clearly a budget that is aimed at a national attention and maybe the base in Iowa or New Hampshire as he goes out and campaigns. So clearly this is a budget that we don't talk enough about the opportunities to move our state forward, that this governor and this budget fails to create economic opportunities for working families in this state. It makes massive cuts to our public schools, our university system, irresponsible borrowing on long-term on funding road projects. And we need to get back to basics. We need a budget right now. And unfortunately, as I said at the onset, many other states are on the upswing. They have a trajectory of growth. Unfortunately, in Wisconsin, this is a recession budget. We continue to cut. We need to be investing in people. We need to be investing in education. We need to be investing in workforce development in order to bring ourselves up to our neighboring states, what they have in job creation. We still are 37th, I think, in the nation for job creation. So there certainly is a lot of work to be done. I think there are a lot of conversations that are happening on both sides of the aisle because there is a general level of uneasiness about what the governor has done to our public schools and our university system, and that we can do better and we need to do better.
And Joe Heim, briefly, your thoughts?
My suggestion and hope would be that the UW system issue, both the $300 million, which is just it could be a devastating cut for many campuses, is reduced. That's one thing I would like to see happen. More importantly, however, I'd like to see the UW system issue of changing from a state agency to a state authority. That is a very big move. It's the most significant thing that's happened to UW system in 40 years. I think it should be taken out of the budget and looked at more clearly by itself.
Joe Heim is a UW La Crosse Professor Emeritus of Political Science. Minority Leader Senator Jennifer Schilling is a Democrat from La Crosse. And Representative Jill Billings is also a Democrat from La Crosse. We invited a number of Western Wisconsin Republican lawmakers to appear on this show, but they declined our offer. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To visit our website, go to wpr.org/newsmakers.